Are you have your Bible open to the book of Psalms? Book of Psalms, chapter 1. Open your Bible right to the middle. You're probably in Psalms. Longest book in the Bible. You know the longest chapter in the Bible? You know how many verses are in it? 176. You're right. And you know what the shortest chapter in the Bible is? Psalm 117 has two verses. Okay, just thought I'd throw it at you. Do you know what the middle verse of the whole Bible is? Would you like to know what it is? I'm going to tell you anyway. Just go ahead and say you'd like to know. Oh, okay, good. I'm really glad we're on the same page. Psalm 118 verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Do you know what the next verse says? "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." In other words, in leadership or authority. Now, you know what that's teaching us? Is that we need to follow God instead of following man.
That's right. Absolutely.
Now, what's neat, though, is that God works through imperfect people to reach imperfect people with a perfect Christ. Isn't that cool? And the reason that God will have me stand up and confess my sin and admit my inabilities is to help give you hope. First of all, it's to give you an example. That's what you need to do, is we need to confess our sin. We need to get rid of stuff. How many of you had a bath today? How many of you need a bath today? Watch this. Let's have a bath for a second. You ready? Jesus, I want to ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I want you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I am asking you to cover me with your blood because I believe you died for me personally. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you said if we confess our sin to say the same thing, mean the same thing as you, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us, to continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on us. Thank you for forgiving us. You're incredible. Amen. Oh, you ready? Are you in the book of Psalms? Chapter 1, verse 1. You ready? Blessed. Do you know what that word blessed means? It means happy. Okay? It means happy. But let's say it this way, blessed, happy, blessed of the Lord is the man. Now notice three things that he does or doesn't do. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful who you listen to and hang around because you're going to become like them. You know, I never would have got into drugs. Guys had tried to get me to do drugs for a year. And then when my folks got divorced, my dad told me he was going to divorce my mom. This was the second time. I didn't know my dad till I was in the third grade. And then he divorced my mom when I was going into the ninth grade. And he, guys have been trying to get me to do drugs for a year. And I kept saying, I don't want to be a dope. It's called dope, right? I don't want to be a dope. So I wouldn't have nothing to do with it, you know? Well, when my dad said he was going to divorce my mom and my brother and I were crying and I was begging him, please, you know, I'm going into the ninth grade. And, I said, please, don't divorce her. And he said, we have to get divorced. And I went walking the streets, and friends of mine came by in a car that had been trying to get me to do drugs for a year, and I wouldn't have nothing to do with it. But when I rode around with them, I ended up getting into drugs. So watch what it says. Happy is the man that walks not in the counsel, doesn't listen to the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. Uh-oh, he quit just hanging out with them. He quit just walking with them, quit just being around them a little bit. Now he's standing there. Uh-oh. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He sits down and starts fellowshipping with them. What we used to tell the kids when we had a bus route where we picked up kids. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We used to go around with a bus and pick up kids and bring them to church because the parents wouldn't come to church. So we'd go get the kids. We used to teach the kids. I used to teach them all these little sayings. Well, one of the sayings was, be nice to the wrong crowd, but don't run with the wrong crowd. Be nice to the wrong crowd, but don't run with the wrong crowd. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're in Psalm 1:1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, I must have gotten that right in the beginning when I first met Jesus. Because what I did was, the way I met him was by reading the Bible. And as soon as I met him, I just wanted to just think on the Bible all the time. Because I had a lot of stinking thinking. Do you have stinking thinking? When you admit it, you're going to find out. Then you have a chance to get delivered from it. But until you realize you have stinking thinking, you're just going to keep having stinking thinking. Stinking thinking is anything outside of what God says. Anything of what outside of the truth. We all have opinions. We all think we're right. We have feelings. We all think we're right. But God's eternally right. And to be honest, we're eternally wrong. Except only in those places where God says we're in agreement with him. Not in our opinion where we think we're in agreement with him. Are you with me? Yeah. Do you know the purpose of this out here, this class? Do you know why we're separating and doing this? Besides, we're just getting a little too full. Isn't that kind of neat? Been doing this for a few years, and it was kind of like, you know, have, you know, the chosen 20 or 25 or whatever. Now it's like we're kind of getting all full, you know? Isn't that kind of cool? I think. Do you know why we're having this out here? This is called bread and butter. We talked not last week because we didn't get to talk last week. We just worshiped the whole time. But the week before, we were in the book of Genesis 1 through 3. Do you remember that? And we talked about God creating the heaven and the earth and how man went against God because he listened to the wrong voice, didn't he? Do you remember that? The devil came, starts talking to Eve. What was she doing listening to him? Why was she listening to that stinking thinking? And he questioned God's word, and she followed him, began to question God. I asked this before, but I'm going to ask it again. Because this whole class out here is to help you. Please hear me. Because if you miss this, I could hand you right now. I can reach my pocket. And I could hand you. Let's see if I have one. Well, I don't have a $100 bill, but I've got $250s. Is that $250s? I could hand you $250s. Hold that a second. I could hand you $250s. Okay. Help you to some degree, but it wouldn't help you anything near like what I want to help you. Because I want to help you for your whole life. Do you know what would be a blessing to me? Would be to stand before God. I lost that thing. Wherever. Stick it in somewhere. Okay. Oh, can you still hear? Hello, hello. Can you hear me? I would like to be able to stand before God and present you. Present you, Judy. Present you, Joy. Present you, Tom. And say, here's Melissa. She's a trophy of Calvary. And he's like, I know. He's like, she's been blessing my life ever since, you know, you just started teaching her how to get the fundamentals, how to get basic things in her life of how to walk with me. He said, she's been blessing my heart ever since. And Melissa's going, but Lord, I stumbled and fell. And he says, what sins are you talking about? I can't remember them anymore. I already buried them in the sea of forgetfulness. I separated them as far as the east is from the west. You see, when you know the truth, it's going to set you free. Amen. You wish I would just walk around and hand you this and say, this is yours, you keep it. But I promise you, this is not going to help you like what I'm talking about. I want to help you for your everyday life. I want to help you to be strong. Not just get warm, fuzzy feelings. You left here and thought I was something good. I'm not. If you get blessed today, it's because you got a good dose of Jesus. Because as I've said many times, Harvey, without Jesus, makes me nauseous. I know he'd make you nauseous. You don't need Harvey. You need the Jesus that's in Harvey. That's right. But guess what? You could have Jesus living in you. Some of you do, and some of you don't. You know about him, but you don't know him. You profess that you know him, but you don't possess him. He's not yours yet. And some of you here think he is, but he's not. And as I've gone around this country, I've met thousands of people. We were doing one of our tours. I preached all over America. And one of our tours around America, God said to me, Harvey, start asking these people why they think they're going to heaven. But Lord, these are good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing churches. As if he didn't know. And he said, yeah, I know, Harv. And I'm like, but Lord, these are the leaders. These are the ones that pick me up at the airport and take me to the hotel and take me out to eat. He goes, yeah, I know, Harv. Start asking them why they think they're going to heaven. So I start asking. So tell me about when you met Jesus. It's got to be the best day of your life. Oh, well, I've always been a Christian. Excuse me? Oh, yeah, I was born in a Christian home. So you were born in a Christian home. That makes you a Christian. When you go in your garage, do you become a car? Just help me. If you were born into a Christian family and that made you a Christian, then why did Jesus say you must be born again? Should I question Jesus' words or should I question what you're saying? Oh, well, I prayed and asked Jesus in my heart. I'm sorry. Chapter and verse, please. Where's that in the Bible? Pray and ask Jesus in your heart. That means you're going to heaven. Where's that? A prayer didn't die for you. Well, I'm a good person. My dad's a deacon. My dad's a preacher. I've got my 20-year pin for going to church. I'm a good person. I read the Bible. All those things are good. What I want to do, if I could do anything, is to introduce you to Jesus. And then teach you how. Okay. Have you ever experienced the presence of Jesus? Have you ever experienced love? Like just pure love? Have you ever experienced? I just need to know. Raise your hands. If not, I'm going to come give you a big hug. Have you ever experienced God? You've experienced him to some degree. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You ready? You've experienced God to some degree. What if you could live there? Does anybody in here, have you lived there longer than 10 seconds or 30 seconds or 2 minutes or 5 minutes? Have you been in his presence and filled with him where you feel like you're about to bust? And it's like you're afraid to move because you're afraid something might change and you don't want to move. I remember when he took me in a vision. I was a Baptist. I didn't even believe in visions. He didn't care. He took me there anyway and laid me out on the floor, and he takes me in this vision where Father brings me right up on his lap. And I was just so, I have lived in God's presence. I have just hungered for this for 34 years, or just about, you know. July will be 34 years for me. And it's like, I just am so desperate for him. And I've experienced God in just like incredible ways, right? But he shows me a vision of him sitting in a overstuffed easy chair, wearing bib overalls, flannel shirt, got a fat cheeks, got full head of hair. Sorry, brother. And full head of hair. But it wasn't long. But it was like white, like Mike's white, you know. And a full beard, kind of like this, but a little bit fuller than this. But it was all white. Fat, rosy cheeks. And he had this gleam in his eye that wouldn't quit. I'm like, what's he looking at? And all of a sudden, I could see me. But it wasn't me like this big. It was me like about this big. And I could see a picture that my mom has of when I was a little kid. And I saw me standing in front of him. And he was looking at me. And he was just gleaming like I was the delight of his heart. And I'm like, he's smiling at me. And he puts his hands out. God's favorite word is come. Because he's all about relationship. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, and I will give you rest. He, she, that comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I won't turn anybody away. And both the hitmen that I brought to Jesus were blown away by that fact. That he wouldn't turn them away. And they'd killed people in cold blood. Just killed people for money. You see, Jesus is no respecter of persons. Romans 2:11. He loves you. I hope these truths today, I've already asked the Holy Spirit, but that there are truths today that you get that will be like little balls of light or truth inside of you that will just burst inside of you and just like fill you, and you'll just never be able to get over them. That's what it was like for me as a drug dealer, reading the Bible. And the words were just coming at me. And it was like, wow, wow, this is different than what I thought. This is different than what I was told. Wow, wow. Everybody that's coming to Jesus, it doesn't matter what they are, he's receiving them. Wow, I think there's hope for me. Because he was just making it so alive. I want to help you get truths inside of you. That's what this is about. That's what they're doing. It's just different truths. They're just taking them further. It wouldn't do you any good if you need to be here and get these truths and you didn't have them. But you tried to go forward with God and you didn't have these, because you're going to end up stumbling. You're not going to end up being strong. You're not going to end up making it. I've met all kinds of people. I've met preachers and preachers' wives that, oh, they're trying to be good and they're trying to live the Christian life, and they're walking as best they know. But there was fundamental truths that they didn't have that ended up causing them to not make it down the journey. And it's like, I don't want that to happen to you. I told people when we had 20 people here or whatever, I said, if I could just reach you and help you to get strong, it wouldn't do us any good to have 200 or 2,000 if we're just playing church and we have just this little shallow little bless me club. I don't care about that. I care about helping you. You see, somebody said something last week, didn't they, Joy? They said, man, I hate leaving church. I hate leaving church. I love it here so much. I don't want to go home.
That's why I throw parties, so I can be here.
Why did she say that?
It's safe here. It's safe. Right, it's here. You can feel it the minute you walk through the door.
What I'm saying to you is, why? Do you understand this isn't church? No, no, listen to me for a minute. This building is not church. This is a meeting place for the church. You see, I can't go to church. I am the church. I'm part of it. I can't go to church. I'm part of the church. The church is the body of Christ. It's living. It's not wood and bricks and stone and glass. But why is it every time people come here, the thing we've heard ever since we started this almost 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, why is it everybody that comes here says, the presence of God is here? Because we bring him here. And we release him. And we let him do whatever he wants. You see, he's real. He's not something that we make up. He's not our crutch. He's my best friend. Know him. That's what we're talking about, is knowing him and how to live him when you leave here. How to live him in your everyday life. while you're washing dishes. Okay, do you know, is my truck out there? There's a truck out there, and it says Tub Glaze on it. That's my guy Dave that goes here, one of our young ministers, and he works with me. And I have a business called Tub Glaze. Most of you know that, okay? And I've been doing this for 20 years, over 100,000 homes. And I go in, and I reglaze or repair bathtubs, okay? And tile and showers. Are you with me? Okay. I mean, this is pretty easy, right? Y'all are getting this. This isn't, like, real deep yet, right? Now, while I'm working on a tub, you say, okay, so you go to church, and then, but now you have to go to work. And so you kind of, like, leave God, you know, in your car. You know, I'll be back in 8 hours, Lord. Just please don't go anywhere because I need you. Oh, my, that's where I'm trying to get. So I go in there, and I'm working on this tub. Now, something God's taught me how to do is what I call practicing the presence of God. You see, we try to think things. Don't we try to use our little noodle and think? We try. But we have these little pea brains. And if we had a good day, and God was having a bad day, which he can't have, but let's just say God was having a bad day, our best day wouldn't compare. So when I'm doing something, instead of me trying to figure it out with my little pea brain, I include realizing he's right here, he's closer than my breath, and I just include him on everything that I do. Somebody's talking to me about you in the last day or two, and I immediately, while they're talking, I wait till they get pouring out. They're talking to me as if I'm going to come up with some wisdom or something. Like, who in the daylights do you think I am? This thing has got probably more smarts than I do. But I've learned one thing. And that's how, when they brought you to me, I took you to Jesus. I said, well then, I said, she's a job for Jesus. Let's just take her to Jesus. He knows what to do. Do you understand? So I'm doing a tub, and I'm down here, and I'm working on this tub. Now, people have paid me thousands of dollars to teach them how to do this. I've trained lots of guys. I've done thousands of them, over 100,000. But every time I get down to do a tub, every time I go to look at one, I walk in, and I look, and they tell me, like, to fix it, let's say. The first thing I do is I pray, Lord, what should I do? Lord, they want me to fix this, but you know what? I make lots of mistakes, Lord, so tell you what. How about if you fix it? I'll just loan you my body. We'll do it together, but you do it. And then people, when I get through doing it, go, wow, it looks brand new. You can't even see it. I just had a guy tell me that Friday. And I looked at him, I'm sorry, did you want to see it a little bit? And then he starts laughing. You know, I just fixed the thing, and he couldn't see it. Is that what they say? Is that what they say? These guys have been with me when I do it? Isn't that what it said, Mike? But it's not me. You see, it's practicing his presence. It's living with him. Y'all look a little cold here. I'll turn this thing up. And then when we're done, you won't be half-baked. You're going to be toasty. So let's read Psalm 1. You ready? Blessed, happy. Blessed of the Lord is the man that walks not the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in his word, does he meditate day and night. And he... what's going to happen in that person's life? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever he does, shall prosper. Harvey, what have you done for a living since you met Jesus? Let's see. Delivered auto parts. sold more books, worked in construction, was a machinist, was a toolmaker, worked at GM, was a drove 18-wheeler, was a mortgage officer, sold pre-planned burials, sold sunrooms, had this business twice statewide, started 7 churches from scratch. I know there's other things, but I don't remember them. But you have an idea, I've done a number of different things. Everything I've done, I've been blessed at. Whatever I do, when I've gone in to be a salesman, I've beaten their 35-year company record in different companies that I'd never done anything like it before. How would you like to go sell pre-planned burials? Sell burial space, casket, vault, and marker. Does that sound cool? One thing I can tell you about that business, they're dying to get in. But anyway, how about selling sunrooms or windows for houses? That sound all cool? Who cares? My point is, when I whatever I did, it prospered. Not because of me. People would say, other guys that had written a lot of business, I remember the guy over in Rochester Hills who was this hard-hitting guy, this real kind of rough guy, and if he was trying to sell you something, boy, he'd twist your arm. He'd put guilt and pressure on you to buy from him, and that's how he sold his stuff. He got a lot of cancellations, too, because he was talking people into it. So my boss, because I was doing so well, he said, I want you to train all the guys how to do it. And finally I said to him, I don't know how to do it without preaching to him. He said, go ahead, that won't hurt him either, you know. So I remember I got up one Monday, because we had these rah-rah meetings on Monday. I got up one Monday, and I told him, and the hard hitter came up next to me as we're leaving, and he said, I know you do just what I do, and you hit them hard and basically twist their arm. And I said, no, I don't. I said, please come ride with me. And when guys came and rode with me, they said, I've never seen anything like this. And I said, what? And what they basically said was, you treat them the way you want to be treated. You don't try and talk anybody into things. I'd talk them, they would commit to buying like a $20,000 package. And I got ready to leave, and I'd written it up on a piece of paper, contract. They'd signed it, given me a down, you know, a deposit. And I'd get ready to leave, and I would take it. And I would say, I've been there several hours now. They've just committed to buy something like $20,000. And I would say, would you like me to tear it up? And they're like, what? And I go, do you want me to tear it up? I didn't come here to sell you something. I came here to help you get something that you need. Would you like me to tear it up? Because I don't want to talk you into anything. And they would say, no. And I would say, well, then why are you doing this? And then when they would tell me why they were doing it, they didn't call and cancel. Because they made up their own mind that they wanted to do it. I just tried to treat people the way I wanted to be treated. That's what that verse says. Look at verse 3, ends in, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly, another group. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, you have the ear of corn, and you know all that stuff. Have you ever plucked corn? Have you ever plucked corn? You know all that stuff you pull off and you don't eat? That's the chaff, okay? The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They can't even stand. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Can you imagine being surrounded, engulfed in love? Don, let me ask a question. Do I love you? Do you know that I love you? Have I ever spoken hard things to you? But you know I love you, don't you? No doubt about it, right? Okay? But that doesn't mean you always like me. And that doesn't mean that you're always in agreement. And that doesn't mean you don't ever say anything bad about me and go have roast Harvey for dinner. Okay? But you know that I love you, don't you? No ifs, ands, or buts. Do I love you? Do I love you? Ah! What? Okay, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you. Okay. God loves you. But he doesn't love you because you're lovely. Because some of you ain't. He doesn't love you, and you don't always act that way. You know, like Glenn will say, I'm not just another pretty face. I'm glad you recognize that. You know? Let me agree with you quickly, okay? Only because he's one of my best friends, okay? Yes, sir?
I have come to a new understanding about that.
Go ahead.
God loving me through you and God loving you through me, that it bonds us together. If me and you met on a job site or whatever, we may end up liking each other further down the road, but we would bump heads.
Oh, yeah.
And we both know that we're so much alike.
Yeah.
But God
forgive us. Salvation, true Christianity. You see, you could be a Christian and wear a little name tag and spend eternity with a boogeyman. But you can't be a Christian and go there. Salvation is a real relationship with a real God. Salvation is to know God personally through the blood of Jesus. Salvation is you and God together. And that's only where it starts. But it's knowing Him. Can you imagine being surrounded, engulfed in love, true love and acceptance? You see, the reason I ask you during worship to close your eyes, because most of you don't know true acceptance. All of us were brought up in such a way where if we did certain things, then we were accepted. If we do other things, we're not accepted. They give you the look. We called it the Jackie look. That's one of our daughters. Uh-oh, you got the Jackie look. You know, because she was real good at giving that look. And people put guilt and burden and manipulation and pressure and control and performance on you to get you, to try to control you, to make you do what they want you to do. God accepts you. I'm going to mess with you. God accepts you. Come on in. You can have a seat. Yep. Now, don't bite. Okay, thank you. All right, Bob, be good. Okay. God accepts you for who you are, not what you do. God loves you whether you ever turn to Him or not. That doesn't mean He lets people into heaven, but He loves you. I told you about the guy, God bless you. I told you about the guy that was on his deathbed telling me, I don't want nothing to do with God. But God was right there at his deathbed loving him. Somebody could be dying because of murder. Somebody could be dying because of AIDS. Somebody could be dying because of sin. Somebody could be dying for whatever reason they're dying of. And God, in His mercy, is loving them right up to the end. He's pleading with them. He's drawing them. Every single person. Every one of you. He's drawing you. He's after you. His acceptance is not based on what you do. His blessing might be based on what you do. It's like my grandkids. I can't bless them when they're having a bad attitude. I want to give my little granddaughter a cookie, but she's got this bad attitude, and she's hitting her brother, and she's being rebellious. Can I bless that? Can God bless that? You know what's so cool? Is every one of you, as we get you into the Word, and the Word just jumps inside of you, y'all just like little, like, you just can't even help it, can you? This is like jumping out of you. I love it. That's what we're talking about. The Word living in you. The Word is the Lord Jesus. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad you asked. In 1 John chapter 1, if you wanted to go there, you don't have to. But in 1 John chapter 1, I was just reading it this morning saying, Lord, do you want me to read this to him? In 1 John chapter 1, just the first two or three verses, first four verses of 1 John chapter 1. Incredible, talking about Jesus as the Word of God. And He is the life of God. Before Jesus, I didn't even know what life was. I existed. I tried to find life. I tried to find it in getting things. I tried to find it in sex. I tried to find it in money. I tried to find it in people, more and more people around me. I tried to find it in accomplishment. You know, I could make straight A's in school, and it was like, okay, your parents come home, they pat you on the head, tell you you're a good old boy, and it's like, okay, I got a little thank you, but it's like it didn't fulfill me. Do you understand what I'm saying? What about when I'm in my room by myself? What about when no one else is around, Julie? You see, Dave, what I want is for you to have this person as your life that you know, that you hang out with, that he's like everything, and you find him loving you. Just like you are. Just loving you and pursuing you. Turn over to Isaiah 43. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. If you're in Psalms, you go toward the New Testament, just a few books. Isaiah 43. And I'm going to show you in the Scripture why God created you. Are you there? Yep, Isaiah 43. You know, I used to have to, like, straighten everybody out, Don, you know. Nope, not 12, 43. Now it's like, just agree with them and go, yep, 43, you know. And then you're not making them feel bad, you know what I'm saying? They already know, you know. It's like, it's okay. Remember, you don't get to fail. You just get to keep repeating it till you get it. Isn't that cool? I love it. That's it. Okay, are you in Isaiah 43? I want you to look at verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have bought thee back, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. He knows your name. Do you know the most important sound to anybody is their own name? The most important sound to anybody, Judy, is their own name. If I say Judy, I got your attention. If I say Joy, I've got her attention, but I don't have your attention. See what I'm saying? The most important sound to anybody is their own name. And God knows your name, Lois, individually. You. You. He knows you. He created you. He knows you. And God don't make no junk, by the way, just so I let you know. Look at verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him. Why did he create us? For his glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. He made you just like you are on purpose. You know, growing up, I told y'all when I graduated high school, I was 5 foot, 100 pounds. it was not cool to me growing up, being that little. I didn't like the inside of lockers. I didn't like people stuffing me in boxes. I didn't like the girls that I had a crush on patting me on the head, telling me I was cute. I don't want to be cute. I want you to be my girlfriend. It was not cool playing football with guys that I go to tackle them and they just go, you know, and I go flying. It was not cool. I tried to go out for a football on the team because I was like, you know, real like aggressive. And if anybody can imagine that, you know. And they said, we don't have any equipment that small, you know. You could go out for Pee Wee League and maybe they'd have something that would fit you, but that wouldn't work here in high school. It wasn't cool. They honestly didn't have anything as small as what I was. And I couldn't ever date the whole time I was going through high school because the parents of the sixth graders wouldn't let them go out with me. And those are the only ones I was as tall as, you know. It was not cool. Anybody that's around me knows I talk a lot. I'm a little bit aggressive. Kind of like define the word, you know. All kinds of things about me that others have had a problem with. And then as God's dealt with me, Diane, I've found that I need to change some of these things, you know what I mean? Like learn to listen a little bit. He told me, he says, Herb, let me give you a clue. He said, I gave you two ears and one mouth. There's a clue there. Okay. Yes, Lord. But in verse 7, he said, I have formed you. I have made you. God didn't make any junk. God made you on purpose. God loves you on purpose. He doesn't love you because you're doing something to try to please him. That's exactly right. Godly love. Phileo love is brotherly love, like the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It comes from a word in the Bible called phileo love, which is brotherly love. But agape love is unconditional love. Verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Look at verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. He said, I created you as one of my witnesses because I want you to know me, because there's many that don't know me. And how are they going to know without a witness? When I met Glenn, he didn't know God from a doorknob. He really didn't. But as he got around me, I was a witness of God unto him. Now, it took him a while to get over the witness God chose for him to have in his life. And until he met Jesus, he still didn't like me. But he couldn't deny that God was in me. And God kept working in him to bring him to know Jesus. Jesus is in you if you have trusted in him as your Savior. You are birthed into the family of God. I believe it's Galatians 3:26. It says, and now you are the children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. You are his creation. And there comes a time where he deals with you to bring you into a new creation, to become his child. You could be his creation, but not his child. When you become his child is when you're born again. And that's what God is about, is having a real relationship with you. For you to know him. Not just know about him. This isn't a history class. This isn't about just you getting a bunch of knowledge in your head and thinking you know a bunch of stuff. This is about meeting a person. He happens to be the one that created you. and he happens to be the one that died for you, whether you know or understand or have accepted that yet or not. Look at verse 21. It says, "This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." Do you know how God thinks about you? Turn to Jeremiah. You're in Isaiah. It's like the next book ahead. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 through 14. You ready? Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Let me know when you're there. Are you there? Jeremiah 29, verse 10. You ready? Oh, yeah, glasses. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished," he's talking to the nation of Israel, "at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end," or to give you a future and a hope. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, I will listen unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." Go back to Psalm 139. If you're in Jeremiah, just head back toward Genesis. You're going to come to Proverbs, and then right after Proverbs is Psalm 139. Because there's 150 chapters in Psalms. Are you ready? Psalm 139, 17 and 18, sorry. So in Bible college, we used to do a thing called, what they call it? Bible drill or something. You had to hold your Bible like this, and they would give you a verse, and everybody would hold their Bible, and then they would say, "Go." And then you'd open your Bible, and the first one that got there would jump up to read it, you know? And anyway, I did that. I like doing that. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. This is how God thinks toward you. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." Go anywhere where there's sand. Just do this. And just pick up one handful. Don't worry about the rest of it. Just pick up one handful and hold your hand open, Bob. And as you see these little grains, just say, "Every one of these, that's like God's thoughts toward me." And I think it's Psalm 115. I don't remember what verse it is, but it says he is mindful of us. He's like consumed with us. He is thinking about you all the time. He has your best interest at heart. God is for you. God is not against you. Psalm 115:12, that's where it says it. Thank you. That is so cool. See, God is going to bless you. When you go that extra mile, you already learned the secrets. I love it. You're just going to go so far. I love it. God is for you. God is not against you. You think, okay, I sinned this week. I messed up. I sinned. I did this. I did that. I'm living with somebody. I did drugs. I drank. I swore. I hurt somebody. I gossiped. I what? I yelled at my kids. And you're thinking, oh, God can't love me. God doesn't quit loving you because of what you do. And he doesn't start loving you because of what you do. God is love. God loves. He doesn't, "I heart my chihuahua." Not that kind of love, you know. God loves you. He may not like the things that you're choosing because it hurts him. It grieves him for you. When I see you or hear of you or get near you and smell stuff on your breath, and I don't say stuff and you think, "Oh, he didn't know." It doesn't matter whether I knew or not. You knew. And you have to live with yourself. And then you have to go do it again because to cover up what you just did because you feel bad. I'm trying to teach you how to live in peace. See, I'm going to keep loving you. But even my love isn't anything like his. Sometimes he'll say, I'll just use Glenn for an example. He'll say, I want you to love Glenn. And I'm going, well, right now, I don't really like that guy, Lord. And he'll say, but I want you to love Glenn. Because Glenn needs to be loved. I'm going, he don't deserve it. Let me tell you what he deserves, Lord. He's going, yeah, Herb, I understand. That's it. He says, but I want you to love him. And so then I try to love Glenn. Have you ever tried to love somebody? I mean, you try to love them. And you know how it ain't really love? You're trying to do this, what you think is the Christian acceptable thing. You smile. You give them a hug. I hate it when people do that. If you don't give me a hug, give me a hug. Otherwise, just quit playing the game. I hated it when I went to church for the longest time and people would say, oh, I love you, brother. And I'd say, really? I've been coming here 10 years. You never have talked to me anytime except church. You've never invited me to your house. You've never had me over for dinner. What does it mean you love me? If I ever call you, you don't want to talk on the phone. What does it mean you love me? I don't need whatever you have. And if you call that love, it ain't in the Bible, and I don't need it. So here's what you're getting where I was going. So God says, I want you to love Glenn. I said, but Lord, right now I'm not loving Glenn. And even if I could try to muster some up, it's not going to be what, it's not going to really help him a whole lot. He's not going to like write home and say, I got blessed today. You know what I'm saying? And you know what God says has taught me to do? Remember I told you my wife was going through the change. I think she was going to become a butterfly or something. And I was doing everything for her. I was cooking. I was cleaning. I was buying her stuff. I was hugging her. I was giving her double lip locks. I was giving her back rubs. I was doing everything. And it didn't seem to be helping. And I was crying. I was desperate. Like, Lord, she's like in transition. She's going through some change. And it's like, I don't know what she's going to even become, but I don't like what she is. And God said, Harvey, I said, I'm loving her. I'm doing the work. I'm doing it. I don't know what else to do. I'm praying for her. I'm doing everything I know to do. You know what God said? He says, is your love enough for her need? And I said, it doesn't seem to be, but I don't know what else to give her. He says, do you think my love would meet her need? I said, yeah, but I don't know how to get her your love. Are you ready? He said, why don't you quit trying to love her and admit your love is too shallow for her need? That requires humility instead of pride. And then ask me to come fill you with my love. And guess what? When I did that, I mean, I was at the point, I was crying, I was begging him, I was like, I'm desperate, I'll do anything, just get us through this. And when I asked him to come fill me with his love, man, it was like she just like that, it seemed like she was delivered. Or whatever, you know, you call it, I don't know. You know, I'm telling you, whatever it was, a dark cave or something, man. But it was like life changed. There is a God, and there is light, and there's life after change. Thank you, Jesus. You see, what people need is they need the love of God. Don, picking on you. as you've done this or in your Christian life. But as you've come here, why have you kept coming here for these months? The reason I'm going to believe is because you've been loved. Because even when you keep messing up, even when you, wherever you're at, we just keep loving you. And I'm glad you love me. I have not arrived. It's called the Christian walk, not the Christian arrival. I haven't arrived. I'm not the example of Christ. I'm the example of the sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. And guess what? We all are. How does he think about us? His thoughts toward us are more than the sand of the sea. When I awake, I'm still with him. You know what Romans 8:31 says? You're over in the book of Romans. Let's see. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Are you there? Chapter 8, verse 31. Are you there? You know what it says? If God be for us, who could be against us? You can't go too low where he isn't. You just can't. Romans 8, do me a favor. You know, when I first got in church, that preacher used to say, turn to such and such. By the time I found it, he was done. And it used to upset me. So I started memorizing all the books so that I could get there, at least have a clue, you know. Verse 31, wherever 31 would be around there. I think in that book they put 31 right after 30. Yes, ma'am. I saw that hand.
What do you do when you try to love someone with the Lord's love, but they won't interfere?
I went in a man's house, and God said, this is a damaged veteran. And I said, okay, Lord, why'd you tell me that? And I walked back to his bathroom to fix his tub, and I get down on my knees, and I said, Lord, I need wisdom of how to fix this tub. And by the way, open the door so I could share Jesus with him. And God said, you can't share Jesus with him. I said, why? He said, because he's already eternally rejected me. I said, but Lord, that means he's on his way to, and I was going to say the place where the boogeyman lives and don't sell no ice water. And God said, that's right. And I said, why did you send me here? And he said, because I want you to love him. I said, you said I can't talk. How am I supposed to love him? He said, just love him. And while I was on my knees crying, doing this job, God revealed to me how that every single day people reject him. If you'll, where is that verse? Turn over to Romans chapter 10, verse 21. It's the last verse of Romans chapter 10. Are you there? Romans 10, I'm sorry. Romans 10, 21, are you there?
Yes.
It says, he says, all day long. Watch this. Verse 21. Wherever. The last verse. Chapter 10. One more. Right here. Verse 21. He says, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. That word gainsaying. Did you ever said something to somebody and they have to have a little, they always have to have the last word, some little smart comment? That's gainsaying. And God says, all day long have I stretched out my hands. All day long, he stretches out his hands to people that reject him. You are his witness. You are letting God live through you. And when they stand before God, I hope this doesn't happen, but I know it will happen with many. And they stand before God, and God says, and they say, he says, I can't let you into my house. I can't let you into heaven. And they're like, but I was again. They start listing all the reasons why they think they should. And God says, play the video of their life. And they start going, no, don't show that here. But nobody ever told me. And he says, Sharon. And when they see you, they're going to want to hide. Because God's going to remind them of how he was able to flow through you. But they rejected. there are people that we go to pray for, Sharon. And, like, do me a favor, come here. Stand. It's not hard. 2 feet. Okay. And we go to pray for them. I've done this. And I go to pray for somebody. We've done this at churches where we said, if you want prayer, come forward. And all these people line up, right? And we come up to pray for them. And I go to pray for somebody. And all of a sudden, I feel this, like, force field come toward me. And I'm like, what is that, Lord? He says, what I want to give them, they won't receive. They've got walls up. They're rejecting. They're full of pride. They're full of sin. One lady, have a seat. One lady, everybody that was in the house that day got healed, except this one lady. It was at our last church. And we were praying for people and said, what do you want? And I've got arthritis. Pray for them. Boom, healed. Whatever. We just prayed for people. But we weren't doing it. We just laid hands on them and said, okay, Lord, whatever you're doing, we come in agreement. And I didn't know any magic words. I was never taught all these little fancy words. Can't put me on TV and make me say fancy words because I don't know them. I just know Jesus. Okay? I know. I just like messing with you. So we went to pray for this lady. She said, I need to get prayer. So Sue comes behind her and puts her hand on her head. And she had golf ball-sized bumps on her head. And she said, Lord, what is it? And he said, tell her I am not going to heal her today. Well, Sue didn't just go, do-do-do-do, everybody know, you're not getting healed today. Sue didn't do that. She reached down and whispered to the lady and said, God says he's not going to heal you today, but he loves you. And she says, I know why he won't heal me. It's because I'm living in adultery. We didn't say it. She was not willing to quit living in adultery. But she wanted God to bless her. And that's how a lot of people are. They want God to bless them while they're living in their sin. God can't bless sin. And yet he blesses sinners. But he blesses sinners that don't want sin. And he'll deal with them and be long-suffering as he walks them out of it. That's the God I'm talking to you about. That's the God. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God. That's the God. Do you understand that he wants a personal relationship with you? Is that in the Bible? Glad you asked. Turn over to Matthew 22. Now when they come out, see, I'm not a long talker. I mean, maybe I am, but what I'm saying is, when they come out, we'll quit. Matthew 22, and we're going to start with verse 34, okay? You're good. Go to Matthew 22, verse 34. You ready? Well, let's jump to verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here's God. He wants us to first have a relationship with him. Get to know the real God instead of the religious God. See, a lot of people grew up, maybe, with ideas of I'm supposed to live this way and do this and don't do that. This is wrong and this makes my mom happy or this makes my mom sad. You know what I'm saying? God's not about a bunch of rules. He's not a religious God. He's not about your performance. He's about you, a personal relationship. And as you get to know the real God, God, I really want to know you. Come reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. And as you get to know him, you're going to find out who you really are, because you're going to start hearing what he thinks about you. As you hang out with him, he's going to talk about you to you. And some of you are afraid to go into his presence because you're afraid of what he's going to say. But the word, as I've been showing you, says he's for you, he's not against you. And he loves you. I didn't take you to Jeremiah 33:3 where it says he loves you with an everlasting love. As you have a relationship with God, find out who he really is, you find out who you really are through his eyes, His love, as it is in you, will flow out to other people. That's what God's all about, a relationship. Sounds like they're getting ready to get done. I'm going to stop there. If you want to keep going, you could read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8a. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8a, where it talks about love. Love according to what God says love is. What you need to understand is that God loves you. Okay, listen, everything is so simple with God, but we complicate it as adults. Listen to this song. You ready? Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Can you agree with that? I'm sorry, I can't hear your head rattle. Do you agree with that? Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Do you agree with that? Tell me if you can agree with this. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, but it makes him very sad. You see, he doesn't love us because of what we do. Have you ever read, I'm sorry, by his mercy? Do you know what mercy is? It's when you don't get what you deserve. Do you know why I got a spanking every day of my life as I grew up? Because I deserved a spanking every day of my life. I had a cop pull me over one time and I said, what do you give me? This is just one of the times, okay? And this cop pulls me over and he says, I said, what did you pull me over for? And he says, whatever. And I, as a matter of fact, the way I said it was, see, how'd that go, Lord? I'm trying to remember. All I know is what I basically said to him was, I deserve getting a ticket, whether I'm guilty this time or not. I deserve getting a ticket because I've broken, you know, I've done enough things that I shouldn't have done. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Have you ever been to a swap meet? A swap meet? How else would you call it? A flea market, swap meet, garage sale. You ever been to one of those? Well, I went to a swap meet one time, and Jesus said, how about if you give me your sin, and I'll give you my righteousness? Whoa, I like that swap meet. Tell you what, you deserve to go to hell, but how about if I go to hell for you and I'll let you go to heaven? How about, Harvey, you deserve to die because the payment for sin is death, but what I'm going to do is say, Father, treat me as if I'm Harvey, and I'm going to die in your place. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, last verse of 2 Corinthians 5. It says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, that he, Jesus, might be made the righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus. It's a swap meet. He loves you. If you only leave here today understanding that he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. He loves you. But he loves you. And when you leave here and you know that, he loves you.